I support the death penalty.
I support the death penalty.
We will be prosperous if we embrace free trade.
Prosperity from free and fair trade.
Does that sound familiar to you? If not, this is a sample of the typical anti-globalization protest music of the past, Rage Against the Machine. And don't you agree that those sentiments of the corporate elite and politicians being the enemy felt appropriate? This podcast presents a fictional conversation between a corporate leader and a representative of Greenpeace. However, the partisan nature of a good versus evil moral setup becomes questionable during the conversation, as you will hear. Welcome to Kaput Radio.
So you've had plenty of practice. You greenies have certainly honed, refined and transformed the rally, protest and blockade movement into a strident, attention-grabbing art form.
Our aim, as you well know, is not to produce art, but to effectively halt your multinational destructive practices and to highlight your complete disregard for human and environmental health and to address the number one threat facing our planet, climate change.
Oh, yes, we've certainly been the target of that aim. You people do have a most effective way of broadcasting your intent.
You can dispense with a smiling charm, Sir Richard, if its intent is to divert my purpose. We've been protesting about your polluting and exploitative industrial practices since Rachel Carson's Silent Spring in 1952, and in some cases before that.
And has the movement been successful in those 60-odd years?
Surely you're aware how activists have stopped mining projects in some places and stopped the release of some very dangerous chemicals and harmful atmospheric gases.
Then I can't quite see why you're protesting here at our combined WTO, IMF and World Bank conference. As a globally recognised Greenpeace activist and delegate, you're surely not here expecting our congratulations.
No, thank you. We certainly don't want your congratulations. Acknowledgement of your capitulation to our request for a sustainable planet would suit us better. I was just pointing out to where our efforts have been effective. Nevertheless, your dangerous, unsustainable methods continue. With our accelerating technology, they in fact increase in ugliness, showing no respect whatsoever for people or the environment. For that reason, I took this opportunity of meeting you, offered by you, I presume, as appeasement to those angry multitudes outside.
I'm well aware, as well as you, that for generations now, you have been informing us of our industrial methods' environmental effects through your science reports and treatises on how we could do better. As if we wouldn't know.
If you are so aware, why do you continue? A clean environment is essential for human health and well-being. It's well known that global health impacts are related to ambient air pollution, poor water quality, and insufficient sanitation. Daily, tens of thousands of children die of poverty-related causes. So much for your global fixing third world poverty.
Ah, the millions like you who object to what industry does are obviously unaware of not who, but what is in control of the economy. You have to understand what actually compels industry of all types to proceed in the manner you complain of. And I'm telling you right now that it's not us.
Come on, not your banks, not the multinationals. That's ridiculous. There is nobody else. Do you think I'm credulous enough to believe that? It's just a nonsense.
I'm not taking for granted your credulity or otherwise, madam. I'm trying to help you understand your reality. In the process of ignoring the reality of our economy, you abuse those who produce your goods and services, and you see them as responsible for your victim mentality.
Sir Richard, This is not at all how we see ourselves, though I suppose we are intimidated and victimized by your power. You and your insistence on financial profit growth persuade governments to grant you access to our finite resources, and they just do your bidding. Some of your worst industrial practices are upheld by governments, and they're nothing short of resource exploitation and environmental vandalism.
Well, my dear, I must insist that we do not control the rules of finance, or for that matter, very much else. This seems to surprise you. So let me tell you something, and indulge in a little rhetoric. Has 60-odd years of protest stopped the vandalism, the resource exploitation, the pollution or armed economic conflict? Have you ever given 5 minutes' thought to investigating why it still goes on? Are we not just humans? Are we not just as you, struggling for our immediate survival?
Or
do you fondly imagine that commerce and industry are unaware of the effects of its many and varied operations that supply just about everything there is of the necessities in your life? This may also surprise you. We know, well before the general public, through our own initial research, of all health issues resulting from our intended operations. We pay science for very accurate reports on all the effects of our proposed operations long before work on any project begins. Our scientists told us of asbestosis before work even began on mining that hazardous material all those years ago. The really smart companies even set aside special funds against future insurance claims on the resulting health effects and clean-up obligations right at the start. So clearly, we don't need your after-the-event research reports. We know the side effects of our profit-making operations well before the general public. We don't need a Lomborg cost-benefit analysis. Industry has done it already. What your publicised concerns do, however, is provide funding and work projects for science, researching the health issues, and investigative reporters exposing the evil big banks, multinationals, privatisation by governments, and the climate change deniers. Incidentally, you Greenies do have a them and us perspective when really, we're all in this together, you know. We all live not in a yellow submarine, but in a government-installed, rules-of-debt-controlled economy. We've all participated in our own immediate survival, you know. Yes, you and the other do-gooders continue to participate in our massively destructive economy.
We do not participate in it. We do everything possible to stop the exploitation of and the destruction of the resources of our planet. Several ecological and environmental researchers I personally know have lost their jobs because grants were terminated. Lab staff have been lost, long-term studies decimated.
You have no inkling of why this is occurring, do you? Do any of you? You have absolutely no comprehension of the enormity of the economy you live in. Nor do you seem to want to know, or even want to investigate, why things are as they are. Though some of us have tried very hard to break through the general miasma of the masses and make it clear. But I don't really blame you. I'm fully aware why you don't know. Why all we ever hear from you is protest, and why the EIS reports that you wave in our faces are quite naive of the reasons why profit must grow. You deplore using third world poverty for cheap labour, government abuse of refugees. You rightly accuse us of promoting wars for profit from armament sales, rampant consumerism, materialism, environmental destruction, species extinction, corporate greed, climate change.
Your profit-driven industrial economy supports social injustice and the suppression of human rights. The green peace we seek is not just the absence of mass destruction, but a positive condition in which people are free to grow to their full potential.
You seem versed in the effects of Petra Kelly, but you and she both assume, wrongly, that the motivation behind industry is profit through the production of goods and services, when, in fact, industry's one and only means of survival is the production and growth of profit. The things produced are of secondary importance to this. But the crowd seem to be intellectually incapable of grasping the reality of the situation we are all faced with. The compulsive reasoning behind the need for profit growth is none other than our short-term survival, without which we don't exist. This is the real and actual situation we humans and the rest of the ecology are faced with. We must make profits grow, regardless of the terminal side effects, if we're all to survive in this economy. Regardless of your angry multitudes. By the way, it seems like you've amassed a vast crowd of them outside this convention centre right now. So, the reality is that our present economies of growth were set up not by us, but by the rules of finance many generations ago. These rules are still applauded, accepted, and used by everyone, you lot included. So our human activities, like climate change, must continue. If this debit system continues, so will our immediate survival depend on profit growth, not on sustainability. If profit growth fails, so does the economy. And we'd have no financial access to our production. And 7-point-something billion humans can no longer go back to subsistence farming.
What you are saying is monstrous. It's bizarre. Nobody in their right mind could believe that our monetary system is so diabolically murderous.
To the contrary, my dear. Nobody in their right mind can deny it. Your mind has been spoon-fed spurious information for generations. Teacher resource material contained in some text on banking is pure fantasy. Banks do not lend out your money. So, not knowing what in reality actually drives the world economy, which is debt money, society has done what primitive cultures have always done. You've invented evil deities to blame, namely multinational companies. Our product is profit. Without it and the income it provides you, all other goods and services are unsaleable, not usable. With no money, they become inaccessible to you. Just imagine a world with no means of access to the needs of life or even to the means of making them. This is the very world you continue to inhabit. And you tell me you're in your right mind. It is your system. And you live under its rules, as we are forced to. You blame others. You do not accuse the system, because you don't know or want to know the system. Knowing what it is would require some investigation. Oh no, that clamorous mob out there is railing at us for using their system's methods for their immediate survival. Within the debt money controlled economy, the methods we must use meet the rational requirements of existence. If your victims, in their billions, want to live with it, and within its confines, and just protest, so be it. But if ever they acquire the intellect to comprehend its workings, and develop a desire to change to a sustainable monetary system, we shall gladly help the poor little dears in their efforts to bring about a sustainable world. The financially successful among us know the rules. But there are not many of us who actually know the root cause, which we would gladly help to remove and replace with sane monetary rules. And this may be another surprise for you, Louise, my dear. We at the top also desire global sustainability. We are and have been very much aware of the need for a long time. However, we are so numerically minute that there is no possible chance that we could change that system by ourselves. We would be run right out of town, the big end of it. The mighty multitudes behind you have the numbers. They are and would be the almighty force, the all-powerful behemoth of awakened humanity, needed to bring about the changes to a rational monetary system. Potentially, the public are the powerful ones, but they are still asleep. We are wide awake, but minuscule in number, and await their awakening with a growing urgency. The real situation is that we were, have to be, and are the most humble and law-abiding group. We are not powerful. We obey the present law, the rule of finance, for our survival. And so we obey that rule of debt as best we can. We're not victims, but we aren't powerful as the victim class imagines us in their fantasies. We take fright easily and reshuffle our investments at the first sign of danger. Though numerically tiny, we make possible everyone's incomes. It's a skill that the victim mentality fondly imagines gives us great power instead of a great headache. However, we are not victims. We bear the unbearable and beat the unbeatable. Even so, we walk the razor's edge, ever fearful, ever alert to our economy's changeability. Rate hikes, inflation, deflation. We must be obsequious to the rule, obedient to its destructive decrees, compliant with its dictates. And only a small section, the really wealthy, can ever feel entirely secure. No, we are not powerful, but we are survivors and provide the opportunity for others to survive in the immediate term.
I'm sure these attitudes, these perceptions, these understandings you expound on are as completely unknown to me as I'm sure that they will be to the others who wish to protect, nurture and preserve our world. Thanks to you, Sir Richard, I'm now in a quandary and overloaded with all this new information I have to check. I'm anxious to start investigating the rules, as you call them. Think I'll leave with the backdoor security force before the gate crashers gain entry. They might take me for one of the enemy.
Well, dear lady, it's your call, as they say. You write well, speak well. So, do your research on the rules of finance, etc. Just convincing your colleagues at Greenpeace would be a tough enough assignment for anyone. It'll be hard work getting a word in, or getting the word out. But with your renowned talent, who knows, I may even keep my fingers crossed. Just remember, it's not possible for us evil ones to do it alone.
Thanks for listening to Forbearance of Wrath, a fictional dialogue written by Graham Ferguson. The character of Sir Richard has been performed by Len Martin, and the character of Louise has been performed by Louise Mehta. I'm Martin Jensen, the producer of Kaput Radio, and hope to attract your interest for future Kaput Radio projects.